I am Planta on the line. This is thecommentary.ca. You might have noticed that the guests in recent days have been some of the familiar people who've been on before, some of the regulars, if you will. People like our most frequent guest, Rafe Mayer, former Chatelaine editor Rona Maynard, Judy Tayabji, and Global TV's Mike McArdle, have been longtime favorites of some in the audience, but really my own. They've been gracious to come on over the years and again now, close to the holiday season and the year's end. Another reason I've had these folks on is that I'm going to be off for a while, and I figured I ought to check in with the good people who've been supportive of this program over the years. I will be taking several weeks off. The program shall continue and be in the hands of the very capable and resourceful Sean Cranberry, who joins me now. He is the host and curator, I like that word a lot, of Books on the Radio, which you can hear Wednesday afternoons on CJSF 90.1 FM, and all the time at booksontheradio.ca. He's passionate about books, and I can't wait to hear what he'll be programming here. One of the projects at the moment, one of his projects at the moment, is this fascinating blog that he and book madam Julie Wilson of the Great Scene Reading blog have started. The Advent Book Blog is a great read to check out the book recommendations that are featured. Robert Wiersman and I talked about this earlier this week, where all sorts of people recommend books people should buy this season. It's just fascinating to read people's choices and to see why they're recommending whatever it is that they're reading. The Advent Book Blog is at adventbooks.wordpress.com. Please welcome back to the Plant Online program, Sean Cranberry. Good morning, Mr. Cranberry.
Good morning, Joe. Thanks for having me on again. This is great.
Thanks for joining us. Yeah, so the concept of this Advent Book Blog is what?
Good question. The concept is to essentially have an alternative source of book recommendations for, you know, for Christmas book buying. I guess it came out of some thinking I was doing when I was working on Books on the Radio, and Book Camp Vancouver had just occurred, and so a lot of ideas were kind of like just running through my mind, and I was trying to figure out how I was going to do some kind of justice to all of the amazing books that are being published, you know, this year, and how I was going to kind of showcase them. You know, the Books on the Radio, it's just me. I only have so much time and so many resources to get the word out. It would just been too exhausting to try and do it all myself. And so I kind of thought about it for a while, and I thought about Julie Wilson, who had come out for Book Camp Vancouver, and I thought that she's such a great person, and she's so involved in the book community, and she's so dedicated, and she takes a lot of her time to create things like Scene Reading. And her book, Madam Project, is awesome, and it occurred to me that she would be a great partner and that she would have great ideas to contribute, and so I just thought that what we could do is create something, a viral community and network where we can not only showcase books, but showcase the people who are reading them, people who are in the book industry who can kind of step out of their normal roles as publicists or marketing people or publishers or whatever role it is that they have in the industry, from booksellers straight on through to writers. And they can step outside of their traditional role and just be fans of books and just, like, talk about books they love in the voice of a fan. As though, and it's interesting that you were speaking with Rob Wiersma, who is great, what a great guy,
yeah.
And what a phenomenal writer, is really funny dude. But Rob, beyond being a really talented writer, is a bookseller. And we have this thing in common where we've worked for independent booksellers for our whole lives. And we have an understanding of what people are like when they are possessed by a book that they love. And so a big part of the Advent Book Blog is that we're trying to turn all the people who are on the blog and who have participated in it as recommenders, into, for that moment, a bookseller. That the idea behind the blog is that imagine yourself working in your favorite bookstore, and imagine somebody walks in through the door, and they don't have a whole lot of time, but they need to get a book for somebody that they're buying a gift for, who is a voracious reader with a very open mind, who is interested in great writing. And that's all the information you have to work on. So as that imaginary bookseller, what is it that you recommend to that person? What book, given a totally blank canvas, do you totally stand behind and do you recommend wholeheartedly? And so it's created this kind of cool energy on the blog where people are literally just becoming fans, and the blog not only showcases a huge variety of books that you'll never see on any top 10 or top 100 list that any newspaper or any magazine is putting out there. So we're not only showcasing the books, but we're showcasing the people too, and we're recognizing that there's a community out there. So
and you find that there are a lot of good books this year?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. No, I just received, we were talking about this the other day, you and I, just received Vancouver Special, the Charles Demers book, in the mail.
Yeah.
And what a phenomenal book.
Is it?
You know, like, it's funny, it's beautiful, it's everything that you want from a book. It's great. So, and that's from Arsenal Pulp in Vancouver, and, you know, the publishing industry has a lot of challenges and a lot of weird things are occurring in the digital realm, and publishing is always kind of, you know, second-guessing itself and wondering where its future is. It's a very kind of Canadian pursuit in that way.
Yeah.
But they continue to publish amazing books. I mean, there's just they seem almost oblivious to the fact that they're publishing all these amazing books, you know.
So all of the books on this blog,
yeah,
they have to be from this year, right?
That was the original intent. But it's funny because as soon as you start putting limitations, especially on people working in a creative industry, it does two things. They're more than willing to go along with it, quite honestly. Recommending new books is a good thing to do. And people like to talk about what they've just read, so that's cool. But there's also... it does an amazing thing to people is they sit and they have to think, and they're like, have I read anything from 2009? And it forces people to kind of go to their bookshelves and look around, and some people have come back and said, you know what, I haven't read anything from 2009, or if I have read a couple of books, I don't feel like they're worthy of recommendation. So some people have, you know, recommended a reprint of a novel from 1962, but she felt like that was the book that she would recommend. So we kind of leave it in people's hands to just, if they can't do something from 2009, to default to a book that they would, you know, readily recommend in any circumstance anyway.
And how many people have you gotten involved in this?
We are hoping that we're going to have 100. I guess it's kind of like 4 reviews a day, for 25 days. I guess ultimately advent calendars only go to 24 days.
Yeah.
But anyway, whatever. We don't have to be that.
I've seen advent, those little chocolate calendars that go 30 days or whatever. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So I guess there's no hard and fast rule, but we're going to try and shoot for 100. I think we can do it. And I think that it would be fun to be able to say that, you know, the Globe and Mail did their 100 best books of 2009, as it does every year, and they did, you know, they always recommend some really great books. But it would be really fun to be able to compare and contrast the work that we're doing versus the work that the editorial board of the Globe and Mail does.
Have you found that there are books that come up a couple times, like different people recommend the same book?
Oh, absolutely. There's a book of poems, and of course I can't remember what the name of it is, but there's one book that has been recommended several times, Asterios Polyp, which Dan Wagstaff of Raincoast Books recommended. He was the first guy in on that book, and we've had that recommended 3 or 4 times by a bunch of people from all over the place. And each, you know, and we're willing to post, you know, 2 or 3 recommendations if those are the books that people 100% stand beside, because it would be interesting to see the different ways that they would want to recommend that book and be enthusiastic about it. But usually what I do is I send people a note saying, hey, guess what? You know, go send a rude letter to Dan Wagstaff because he took your book. Do you want to recommend another one? And then usually people say, yeah, yeah, I'll recommend another one, and they move on to something else.
You've been in the book trade a long time. Does word of mouth, does the seller in the shop telling the customer, this is an interesting book, does that account for a lot of sales?
Huge.
Really?
Absolutely, 100% huge. And that's one of the beauties of this project, I think, is that a lot of people understand that relationship between the reader and the bookseller. Especially, you know, I've always worked in independent bookstores, and I'm not about to, you know, disrespect or question the skills or passion of the people who work in the box stores or anywhere else that's selling books, for that matter. But there is something special about having a relationship with a bookseller in a particular neighborhood that you live, you know, there's just something about it that I think absolutely 100% accounts for a lot of sales. Some bookstores, for instance, some publishers know very well that in some stores you'll sell, you know, 50 copies of a book. In other stores, that same book, even though it's another independent bookstore, will sell maybe two or three. And it's all based on the passion and the direction for that particular store and how they cater to their audience and all of those little things that independent booksellers do so well.
And statistically, this time of year is the where bookshops sell the most?
Oh, yeah. There's just no question about it. I mean, the book industry, you know, I've worked in independence since 89, although I haven't worked in them for a couple years now. But, you know, like the early part of the year, January, February, March, April, May, just before you get into the kind of summer reading kick, it can be pretty bleak out there. There's not a lot of sales. The industry is kind of recovering from the holiday season. But from essentially late August, I would say, straight on through to December, you get this momentum build that I think something above 75%, maybe. I haven't looked at the numbers recently, but there's a huge chunk of the business is done in the last 4 months of the year.
Yeah, I went into the big chain this past weekend,
yeah.
And it was just packed.
Oh yeah, I know, it's crazy.
And I must say, after reading your blog, the Advent Book Blog, yours and Julie's blog,
mm-hmm.
I saw some people, a couple of people, reading books that I have read already that I really like.
Right.
And I was so tempted to go up to them and say, yeah, you know, you got to buy this book.
Yeah, you got it in you, Joe. You got that bookseller in you.
Yeah.
No, it's true. So
you just feel compelled to do that.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's the power, right? That's the thing that is the power of books, is that, and that's to get back to what you're saying about the relationship of the hand sell or the word of mouth through dealing with a bookseller, an independent bookseller, is you come to trust that voice and you come to develop a relationship, and that enthusiasm is palpable, you know? It's the thing that pushes a reader over, a potential reader into a reader, or, you know, that person that you were looking at could have been, you know, sitting there looking at this book, wondering whether he should buy it for his uncle or whatever. And, you know, sometimes all he needs is somebody like yourself who knows it and has read it and is passionate about it to come along and say, yeah, that's the book for you. And then bang, it's done, you know.
Have you noticed that do you go to these big chains? I mean,
yep.
There's the one big chain in this country.
Yeah, Chapters Indigo.
Yeah. A lot of people sit down there, and they must sit there for hours.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And I just find that annoying as a consumer.
Right.
I mean, I just don't get why they don't just buy the book or just beat it or go to a library or something like that.
That's a great question. Yeah, you know, it's one of the ways I think that Chapters wants to create a sense of ambiance in their store where, you know, the last thing anybody wants to be perceived as is a, is some place that's just moving units without caring about, especially in the book industry, without caring about their customer and the relationship that the customer, potential customer, has to the book. So I think that that's one of the things they're trying to do. They're trying to create that sense that this is it's a big store with a kind of old bookshop sensibility to it. Who knows? I can't speculate as to why people do it, but you know, I think it's something that Chapters is trying to achieve, is to create that relaxed atmosphere.
One thing that I've been doing lately is I've been buying books for Christmas. Is on the Chapters website, they take debit now, which I just really like. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God! That's
just
crazy.
Great. It's just great because I don't want to pay interest on my credit card. You know what I mean?
Books are expensive enough, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really, they take debit. Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, I mentioned to you the other day that I went to the People's Co-op bookstore.
Yeah, a great bookstore on Commercial Drive.
That's I told a friend of mine this, and she said it seemed that my shirts were too starched to go in there.
Oh, right, yeah.
But it is a great shop, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. You know, it kind of gets overlooked. On the one hand, it's a total institution in Vancouver bookselling. Everybody knows People's Co-op. They do a lot of public events. They have a strong kind of ethic, I think, and an association with the Commercial Drive neighborhood. But they do really, really good work. Like they stock really a huge variety of books, new, older backlist titles, poetry. Some people kind of write that store off as being kind of like a
communist.
Yeah, a communist, sure, that's one word for it, yeah. Or a kind of Spartacus politically aligned store. But, you know, that's maybe its reputation from the past, and maybe that's a bit of an association with the Commercial Drive neighborhood, which has also got that kind of reputation, too. You know what, they do really good work. All you have to do is walk in the store and look around to know that.
And I think we shouldn't lose sight of that. There are good bookstores in Vancouver other than the big chains, right?
Oh, absolutely. There are fewer and fewer than there used to be.
Yeah.
There's a couple that I've worked for that I totally recommend. There's Sophia Books downtown is an incredible store, and probably one of the most unique and dedicated stores in Canada. Anybody who has, you know, is traveling into Vancouver or lives here and hasn't been down there needs to go there. Duffy Books out on 4th Avenue, those guys are awesome. Otis, no, what's their name? Oscars? Is that the store that's out on, there's a bunch of really great bookstores, but those two for sure I vouch for all the time.
Yeah, Hager Books on 41st and
Canada. People love Hager Books, and actually somebody, a friend of mine, John, just the other day said, Sean, you got to add Hager Books to Advent Book Blog, and I better do that after this interview.
Yeah. I went into People's Co-op to buy the Charles Demers book, Vancouver Special.
Yeah.
You mentioned it already. It is a great book, isn't it?
Yeah, it's phenomenal. And, of course, you know, Charles, I think, lives in the neighborhood, right?
I think so, yeah, Woodland, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So he, there's a lot of things to like about this book, but one thing that I found particularly gratifying is that he starts the book off with his chapter on Commercial Drive. And he talks a lot about the history of Commercial Drive, and I found that really interesting that he would do that. But I do think that one of the reasons he did that is because it's one of the most culturally diverse neighborhoods, if not the most culturally diverse neighborhood in the city.
And we lose sight of that, don't we, that we have so many diverse neighborhoods in the city, whether it's Carisdale or Shaughnessy or Yaletown.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think that Vancouver enjoys projecting this image of youth and mountains and glass buildings and this kind of reflective, futuristic sensibility. But, you know, I mean, that's certainly a part of what Vancouver is. But you'd be a fool to think that there isn't a really strong, diverse cultural community going on here too.
I missed Books on the Radio this week. Who was on?
This week I skipped it.
You did?
Yeah. So you didn't miss anything. But I've been so wrapped up with the Advent Book Blog that I just sheer didn't have time. But in terms of who's coming up, Nick Bouton, from Protagonize.com, he and I are going to get together. I'm going to finally edit down my Michael Geist recording that I did when he did a presentation at the Wise Hall a couple of months ago. Julie Wilson, I've got to talk to Julie at some point. And, of course, like the whole Advent book blog has been a huge blessing because it's putting me in touch with writers and publishing people that I need to talk to in the future. So,
It's just compelling stuff that you have on there. Like, you had this guy, Cameron, I think I have it written down here, Rod Chapin. Is that the guy's name?
Rob Chaplin.
Yeah, Chaplin. Yeah, you had him on. And I still don't know to this day what the book was about. But it was just the most compelling conversation to listen to him.
Yeah.
He's
a really interesting guy. His book that we were talking about, Brussels Sprouts and Unicorns, is, it's Rob. You know, you really just need to kind of check it out. It's kind of, he's a great artist, super smart guy, very funny, and a designer. And he's completely dedicated to doing every step of the process except for the physical printing of the books himself, and avoiding publishers and avoiding kind of editors and people who might meddle with his ideas entirely. And so that book is just a series of kind of rhymes and funny stories that he's illustrated, and he gets them printed, pays for it all himself, and then he just hustles them out of his backpack. It's really interesting.
Yeah. Well, you're good to replace me here, and I'll be listening from overseas, and we'll continue visiting the Advent book blog until then, and of course, booksontheradio.ca.
Yeah, exactly. I'm really looking forward to trying to fill your shoes. I think it'll be a great late December, early mid January for both of us.
Thanks very much, John.
Yeah, thank you, Joe.
The website for more, again, is adventbookblogs.wordpress.com, booksontheradio.ca. Sean Cranberry on the line in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.